Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone today to the Baptist Christian Church. If you're visiting with us today, fill out one of those little white cards in front of you and put in the offering plate for your attendance. Opportunities for this week. Tuesday is 6:30 is the Missions Committee. Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. is the prayer meeting and Bible study, and they're studying the book of Isaiah. Thursday at 6 p.m. is the Crusaders Club for the teens. Also, if you purchased a flower for Easter up here in memory or honor of someone, please take them home with you today after the service. Also, last week we had our business meeting during Sunday school, and we approved to support Mark and Roxanne Singleton and the missions, so they'll be part of our missions now. Also, Easter offering, there's a basket in the back for the Easter offering, and we're also going to have that there next Sunday. If some of you, because we hadn't announced it last Sunday, so it'll also be there next Sunday in case you wanted to put some money in there and didn't bring it with you today. During the business meeting, we decided to use that towards a first aid kit here at the church to have a first aid kit, and then the remainder of the money is going to go towards some relief or wherever in the south where they had all the tornadoes and flooding or different areas. We're still working on that. Also, for Vocational Bible School, they're still in need of some teachers in different areas. So if you could help out, talk to Kathy Funk or Diana Adams. I'm sure they'd appreciate that. And also, next Sunday will be fellowship dinner, so get signed up today so they'll have an idea how many will be there. And then following Sunday will be Mother's Day, so keep that in mind. Memory verse for this week is in Proverbs 8:10. Choose my instructions instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. What a great day. The Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. Amen. What a great celebration. I have a thank you note that I would like to read to Baptist Christian Church family. Thank you so much for welcoming us into the family. We enjoyed our two Sundays of fellowship with you, teaching Sunday school. The first week was lots of fun, and all of you were such good participants in the singing and verse learning. The second week, thank you for making Mark's parents feel at home also. You were so encouraging to us, even when our emotions were running high as we shared about our home in South Africa. We thank you, underline, for the partnership in prayer that began 6 years ago when we first met and now continues with financial support. We enjoyed our time spent with the missions committee and want to get to know you. We enjoyed our time with the missions committee. We want you to know that no other church in our team has ever said specifically how they wanted to hear not just our praises on the field, but also our struggles. It means a great deal to us that you at Baptist Christian Church want to be there to support us in every way. Thank you. We hold you in our hearts and our prayers as we look forward to hearing about what God is doing in and through each of you. Thank you for the wonderful meals on both Sundays, and thank you, ladies, for the lovely gift from the missions box, Mark and Roxanne and Mala Shingleton. And we did have a good time with them, and they are excited. I appreciated sharing with them about the idea that no other church got to know them the way we did. They told us that most of the time when a church wants to support them, they get a letter saying, "Hi, we've decided to support you," and that's the end of it. And so they appreciated getting to come and talk with you and getting to know you and your input and all of that kind of thing. And so we're glad that it went that way. You know that I sit on the board at Baptist Children's Home, and Part of that has to do with an international ministry, and one of the most dynamic ministries is conducted by a pastor, Togba, in Liberia. One of his, it would be like a Timothy to Paul, but his name is Peter. He is a dynamic young man and just so in love and on fire for the Lord. And I got this email saying that Peter was in a serious vehicle accident. Both sources indicate that one person died, and that was a woman. Then Jim says, when I have more information that is trustworthy, I'll let you know, but join in prayer for the family of the person who died, and then pray for Peter also. There are several people in Liberia this morning without a pastor, because Peter is in the hospital and he's been in this serious accident. So would you just put Peter on your prayer list and pray for him in the coming days? Thank you all so much for coming. What a great day to worship the Lord. Let's bow in prayer now and ask God to minister to us. Bow in prayer with me. Almighty God, everlasting Father, thank you for this day among all days of worship. Thank you for being able to celebrate a risen Savior. It is good that you have called us, and it is good that you are conforming us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for our salvation and all the blessings that are a part of it. We thank you for your inerrant and inspired word that leads us and guides us into all truth. And thank you this morning that you have called us to worship before you as a family in Christ. And we pray that our only act this morning would be the act of worship as your children before the great God of heaven. We thank you for the privilege of sharing our tithes and offerings with you. We give them with a cheerful heart in the matchless, eternal, saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you take your Bibles, please, and open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you don't have one, you're welcome to use the Bible in the pew in front of you. Open your Bibles to chapter 15, please, and will you stand with me as we read the Word of God? Beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And when you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and stars differ from stars in splendor. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable is to be raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Bow with me in prayer. Almighty God and everlasting Father, thank you for the great thing that you have done in redeeming the human race. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sins and to die in our stead. But thank you even more that he is alive today and that he ever lives, that he is at the right hand of your throne, making intercession for us even in this hour. And thank you, Father, for the relationship that we have with you. And it is our privilege now to worship before you. We bow before you, and we submit to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, our Father, that in these moments you and you alone would be sovereign and exalted and glorified. And I pray that the message that the Holy Spirit has for us this morning will go forth, and we claim the promise that it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which you send it. Teach us by your grace and change our lives forever. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Today it is our privilege to celebrate the proof that Jesus Christ is not dead and that he defeated death. That proof is his resurrection from the dead. And though Christians generally have no problem with the truth of the resurrection, to believe otherwise is, quite frankly, to deny Scripture. Paul says, as do many writers in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, that the Lord Jesus Christ on the third day rose from the grave. He was seen by hundreds of people after the resurrection. Once a person comes to the point where they believe the truth of the resurrection event, the question then often begins to surface about our resurrection bodies. Okay, we're going to live forever. That's great. We're going to be in heaven. That's great. God has just an infinite number of things planned for us in heaven. Great. The question is often asked, will we know each other? Will we look like ourselves? What kind of bodies will we have when we get there? Paul answers that question for us in this passage of Scripture, and yes, we'll know each other. It's completely inconsistent with the nature and character of God, and by the way, with salvation as one family, the body of Christ, for us to know each other here and spend eternity with strangers. It just doesn't make any sense. We'll know each other. We'll know each other perfectly. What a great thing that will be. People who are Christians will have physical bodies in heaven. We'll all be spiritual people with physical bodies. Knowing how sin would twist and warp our human thinking, God gave us many realities concerning our heavenly resurrected bodies, and some of them are in this passage today. I apologize to you that I can't project the outline today. We were setting things up and discovered there's a very important piece missing. And at this point, only the Lord knows where it is. So I apologize to you for that. Number one is the waiting period. The waiting period. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. That's kind of an exciting passage if you stop to think about it. There's something better yet to come. When you read this, you kind of get the idea that Paul's giving us two viewpoints. One is life here before death, and the other is after death, but before the resurrection. It's a passage, and all passages like this, where we have to kind of be willing to follow the advice and instruction given at the beginning of Proverbs chapter 2, where we basically dig in and we start to scratch and we begin to work hard and think and meditate and let God teach us. So let's start with the big picture. It'll help us consider the little pictures and the details. And in very broad terms, God brought us into being in this life so we could accept his gift of salvation. Beloved, from now until the rapture, there will be a constant focus on this earthly body and on earthly pleasures and on self and all of that garbage. But what I need for you to understand, and what we do as Christians, what do we understand as Christians is this: nobody is born by accident. No human is conceived because of an accident. God is sovereign. And at the instant of the union of the sperm and the egg, life begins. And from that point on, life is then eternal. And God's desire is for us to spend eternity with him in his heaven. Sin messed it up, and you know that. In this life, we are in a waiting period between our salvation and being with God in his heaven forever. So from Paul's point of view, in the passage that we just read in 2 Corinthians, our physical bodies groan because they're subject to all the maladies of this world. And you don't have to be very old, do you, to start creaking and groaning and experience the maladies and the problems of this world. And that just seems to increase as we get older and older, doesn't it? To me, that's one of the greatest disproofs of evolution. Because the evolutionists teach that over time, things get better. They adapt so they can survive. But in all of that, there's still decay. There's still death. There's still all of the maladies that we have to suffer. So if we're getting better all the time, why is it still here? It's still here because of the effect of sin, and it'll be here until Christ takes us out of this world and until Christ, at God's command, does away with this world and all that's in it and brings out that new heaven and that new earth that we're waiting on. Pardon me. Listen carefully. The real you is invisible. It is spirit in nature. It is your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. That's the part that is the real you down inside, and the physical body is the identification feature that God gave us so we would see and be able to tell each other. When this physical body decays, our eternal soul goes immediately to be with the Lord if you're saved. Now listen. That time is more wonderful than any of us can imagine. Is it heaven? Yes. Is it paradise? Yeah, that's a way to say it. The Bible isn't really clear on just exactly what's going on, but I do want you to understand this. From the time we die physically until the time of the resurrection, and for Christians who die now, that will be the rapture. Those folks, according to 2 Thessalonians, will be raised first. Those graves will open first. And all the dead in Christ will immediately rise to be with him and meet him in the air. What's going to rise if somebody's been dead for 200 years? Their body. But it's decayed. It doesn't make any difference to God. Well, suppose they've been cremated and their ashes scattered to the wind. It's not an issue with God. The physical body will be raised. And as wonderful as heaven is at this point, all the souls that are there now are free from every kind of malady that you and I can experience. But they have one longing, one desire, one need. And that is a physical body. And those folks are looking forward to the time when they will be reunited in their physical bodies. And then all who are alive, have not died at the rapture, will instantly be taken out of the world, body and all. You've heard me ask before, you know, would it be a good thing to be outside when that happens? I don't think the roof will bother us, do you, if it happened now? But our bodies are going to go to be with the Lord. At the rapture, we'll all be brought back into relationship. We'll all be given our physical bodies back. And all of this moaning, all of these maladies will be gone forever. So, if you can accept that from Scripture, and you'd have to if you read our passage today, the 2 Corinthians passage, and other passages in it, let me ask you something. Doesn't it kind of encourage you, or maybe doesn't it excite you to say, well, that'd be okay now, right? What if you didn't have to take any more leave? What if you didn't have to worry about the next rainstorm? What if you didn't have to limp? What if you didn't have to face surgery? What if you didn't have to face growing old and dying? Now, listen, that's kind of a neat thing, at least it is for me. That's kind of a neat thing to think about. Wouldn't it be great if our grandkids and our great-grandkids didn't have to pay the debt? I mean, there are a lot of advantages to this. But the other side of that is this. Listen. Are you ready right now? Is it really okay with your soul if the rapture takes place today? It could. Christ can come any time. And we're complacent in this waiting period. We think, no, I'm going to grow old and die. I have a long life. Christ is not coming back yet. How do you know all of that? Where do you get your foundation for that? And how do you find security in that? We're in the waiting period. The second thing that we want to look at is the biblical evidence for a bodily resurrection. The biblical evidence for a bodily resurrection. There is proof throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, that there will be a bodily resurrection. Some people teach today that a physical body is bad and corrupt and therefore can't be raised because it's not fit for heaven. Well, that's what Paul said. These bodies are not fit. If you're in 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So in a sense, he's saying these bodies are not ready for heaven. They're not fit. They don't fit the program. So he says in verse 51, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, so somebody's going to be alive at the rapture, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. And by the way, verse 52 are the same words Paul uses in 2 Thessalonians when he's talking to them about the coming to the Lord. All of those same elements are there. He says this, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we who are alive will be changed. The perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. I think that last verse is a very interesting verse where Paul tells his readers, don't fall away. Don't get caught up in the secular humanism you see around you. Isn't it interesting how the Word of God is just as valid today as it was 2,000 years ago when Paul penned it? Stand firm. The bodies created by God are declared to be good by him. When he was finished, he said, after he had created man, he said, now it's very good. And so God declares this to be a good thing. Jesus assumed a physical body at the incarnation, didn't he? Verifying a body is a right and proper thing. The body itself, listen, the body itself is not bad. The body itself is an amazing thing. Listen, it is sin and the effect of sin that makes the body corrupt. Sin corrupts. Blood cleanses and purifies. It makes the resurrection to eternal life in God's presence possible. And listen, it proves that salvation works. So the physical body being resurrected is both good and it is intended by God. Let's consider what our resurrection bodies are like. Let's look at number three, what our resurrection bodies are like. Number one, they will be the bodies we have now. Your resurrection body will be the body you have now. Now listen, don't think, oh no, forever, no. Beloved, I will be real honest with you. I don't know what God's perfect body looks like. But when you get your resurrection body, it will be perfect in every way. You will find no fault with it. And it will glorify God. All resurrection accounts attest to the fact that we'll have these bodies in heaven. The empty tomb is one part that verifies that when Jesus was resurrected, he was bodily resurrected, and it was in the same body. And if you want to, later on, go to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9. Matthew 28 and verse 9. And Jesus is recognized because of his scars. He says to his disciples, he says, look at my hands and my feet. They're scarred. In Luke 24, verses 39 to 43, Luke 24, verses 39 to 43, Jesus talks about the flesh and bone and scars. In John chapter 20, verses 26 and 27, you remember when the folks saw him were there, they wanted to touch him, and he said, stop, do not touch me. My body is not ready for heaven, or has not yet been glorified. And the other thing, it was the same body, but it wasn't the same as when they took it off the cross. He had scars in his hands and his feet. But we don't read about the mangled body that died on the cross, do we? God did a miracle, put that body the way it was supposed to be. It's interesting that John is the only one who records Jesus, Mary, telling Mary not to touch him because he had not yet returned to his Father. So his resurrection body was not yet his glorified body, but it was the same one he had on earth, number two. Our resurrection bodies are material bodies. Our resurrection bodies are material bodies. Every scripture reference that you just wrote down will verify that same thing. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 5, the angel at the tomb, or the person at the tomb, tells the women that Jesus is not among the dead but among the living. And since his physical body was put in the grave, his physical body was resurrected. In our passage this morning, verse 42 says very clearly, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. This body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. Same one, material body. Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. Tell us we will be like him. And you know what? We're going to be like him in every way except his deity. Anything that has to do with the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't get to share. But we get to share characteristics and attributes of that. But we will be glorified like him. We get new bodies like him. Number three. Our resurrection bodies will be immortal. Our resurrection bodies will be immortal. And we read that in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. Now listen, it's important to understand that God is going to change our mortal bodies to immortal bodies, and from corruptible to incorruptible. Listen, they do not change from being material, physical, visible bodies to being invisible, spiritual bodies. Okay? They're gonna be different, but they're going to be material. They're just going to be immortal and incorruptible. But they're not going to be invisible. So we're not going to float around on clouds with a bunch of ghosts. It'll be real people in real bodies in heaven. The body changes from natural to spiritual, or worldly to godly is another way to say that. Let me ask you something. This is a Sunday school answer question, okay? Are you looking forward to the time when you have no immoral thoughts? Are you looking forward to the time when you have no thoughts that distract you from God? Are you looking forward to the time when all of your thoughts, all of them, are the right thoughts, that everybody you look at the way Christ wants you to look at them? You love as he loves. You think as he thinks. You act as he acts. Won't that be a great time? Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And that's hard for me to get my pea brain around when I start thinking about there is no end to it. But when will God show us all that there is to show of himself? Never. How does that grab hold of you? What an amazing thing. It'll be raised and be driven and influenced and dominated by the Holy Spirit of God. Number four. The resurrection body is a glorious body. A glorious body. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. No, wait. I've got to get in Philippians and it'll say the right thing here. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring under everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Now, I'm not sure that I understand all that that means. But when I go to the book of the Revelation and I read chapter 1, and I read the account that John gives of the Lord Jesus Christ as I believe he is today. Now, in that picture, he's dressed in full battle array. He's ready to come back and take care of Satan. And that will be no contest. But if you read about the majesty and the glory that radiates from his body, it helps us to understand what God has in mind. And God has something in store for us that we have not yet imagined, beloved. Does it matter? Yeah, it really does. Listen carefully. There is an association. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul tells us that because of what Christ did on Calvary and because of our asking to be saved, that when we come to God and we pray that prayer of salvation and ask him to forgive us, at that instant, God owns us. Paul says it like this. He says, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. And the price is the perfect, righteous, holy, innocent blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The most costly gift ever given is salvation. At the highest price. Now he says, your body is not your own. Don't you know that since the day of your salvation, because of your desire to walk with God, because of your desire to have your sins forgiven, because of your personal request to say, God, help me, change me from being your enemy to being your own adopted child, and forever hide my sins behind me, makes you the temple of the Holy Spirit. And in our great society in which we live today, that has gone by the wayside. Most of us from the pulpit back to the back door in this room, most of us are guilty of forgetting that we do not belong to us. We are bought by God with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes us different. And he says, The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So do you see, beloved? Do you see? We are like the nation of Israel. Every day that we go about our daily lives focused on us, seeking our desires centered in this world. And we are just like Tiglath-Pileser III, who came in from, I think it was Assyria, when they conquered Israel and they overtook the city of Jerusalem. He said, "What is the way that I can make my point and humiliate these people to the ultimate degree?" You know how he did it? He went into the Holy of Holies, he took the ark away, and he sacrificed a pig on the altar. And at that point, Israel understood to some degree. Beloved, our bodies are perishable and immortal. They're corrupted. We understand that. But the soul inside has been cleansed. The soul inside, the mind, the will, the emotions, the real us has been changed. It is immortal, always has been. And you see, because we are now adopted children of God, we do have spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. If you're here this morning and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you don't understand this salvation, and your life is governed by the question, "When I die, I hope I get into heaven," then you need to understand one very serious thing. You do not have spiritual life within you. You are spiritually dead. Is there an eternal soul within you? Absolutely. Will that soul live forever? You bet it will, in a Christless hell. Think about this. The things you read about hell and at the great white throne judgment, it says, when their name wasn't found in the book of the Lamb, that person is taken and they're cast where? Into the bottomless pit. And while all of us are with God forever and ever and ever and ever, where there is no end, we are learning about the majesty of the God who saved us forever, learning more and more and more. All that time, forever and ever and ever, all the people in hell will fall in darkness and burning and torment. Is that what you want? We don't like that, do we? You know what? When God inspired it, he didn't intend for us to like it. Sulfur stinks. Forever and ever and ever and ever to fall through the fire in darkness with a weeping and a gnashing of teeth and a torment. Oh, by the way, it's not torment like you and I understand. It is all the torment that God has as for his hatred to sin. Forever and ever and ever. Now, everybody sitting in here this morning, and you know what's right, don't you? You know what it really is with your soul. One last thing. There are some people who believe that our new bodies will have supernatural powers. You remember when the disciples were in the upper room and Jesus just appeared without opening the door? That's a possibility. Our glorious resurrection bodies, it is one final gift that God has for us. And as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it goes farther than the body for sure. But beloved, understand that God is not finished with us, and when we spend eternity forever, it will be in bodies that we recognize with our brothers and sisters in Christ as God intended. It's kind of something to look forward to, isn't it? That would have been a good place for an amen. I don't know how long it'll be before God calls us out of this life into the next. Could be today, could be tomorrow. And I know that there are many in this room, when they die, will go forever, or to be forever in the presence of their Lord. But beloved, listen, don't forget, please, that all of this neat stuff comes after the waiting period. And it is in this waiting period that God has designed his salvation to work in us in such a way that it causes the lost around us to come to Christ. Until we draw our dying breath, we are accountable, we are responsible, we are under commission from God to teach, to make disciples, to share with others. On this resurrection day, how many of the people in your circle of influence are not here because they don't know Christ, and in all of the time that you've had with them, you haven't yet shared with them? Father, we thank you for the glorious promise of a resurrection body. And we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ was the firstborn among the living. We thank you for all that you have in store for us. And we pray that you will remind us often of these great things to come. And we pray that our hearts will be excited. But in this waiting period, we would ask that you would remind us often also that we are to be about your business, that we have a relationship with you that must grow daily. And once more, Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would burden our hearts that we might see the lost around us as you see them, and that we might lay aside all our excuses and share the way of eternal life with them. And I pray that anyone in this room now who questions the certainty of their future with you would use this time to change that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.